Before I start, okay, we start. Okay. I first want to start, nothing to do with the Musar Vad. I want to announce, obviously every announcement can be changed, but there's this big breaking news. I told some people the news already. Rabbi Ordovic was here and I was talking to him about some things, and he gave me a suggestion because we were discussing certain problems, dealing with the guys. And he said a very fascinating thing, that he does not answer. People call about Shaduchim. He does not answer any questions. He says there's a very big reason for that. He said because he knows too much. But if he would answer questions, guys wouldn't talk to him, because guys would be afraid someone's going to call him about a Shidduch. Some of Meida, guys know that he doesn't answer Shidduch questions. So I thought that was a terrific idea. Especially since there's really no reason why anyone should be calling me about Shaduchim, because there's no one basically going out from here. You know, a guy goes from here, he goes to Queens, and or wherever else he goes. But usually the guys here are like 21, whatever. Very few people here are going out. So it means the guy's calling me from 3 years ago. Usually anyway, I don't remember, right? So I don't remember the guy anyway. So usually I probably tell him the wrong, I get the guy mixed up with someone else, and I tell him the wrong information. But assuming even I know, my wife always tells me I don't do a good job in giving shidduch references because I don't know how to get excited. Oh, he's the most amazing guy in the world, and I it's hard for me. But besides which, there is shaydas of Lashon Hara, which I don't know the answer to. And besides which, too, it really, I do think it's a good point that guys, who Ordovic said, is that some people are hesitant to talk to you because people have, secrets, issues, and what if, you find you know one of their issues and then 5 years later someone calls you up. So even if I won't say, but the guy doesn't, the guy's nervous with me, That's all he wants, is someone should start saying, well, there was some issue 5 years ago. So Rabbi Ordovic said that he doesn't, there are plenty of, he said the same thing, since there are other people in the yeshiva that will answer. So that way everyone has, you have to talk to everyone, call the Rosh Yeshiva. So I think here for sure, there are other people, first of all, you can call Rabbi Naiman, you can call Rabbi Kier. I was the first one to chop this, as long as there's someone else here. And second of all, don't call us, call Queens, call their present Rebbe. It's not even fair for a Bachar. A Bachar, let's say, has an issue, and he works on it. And now 5 years later, he straightened himself out. It's not that problem. So the guy's calling me from 5 years ago, did he have any issues? Who cares? Why is that relevant? Right? Usually it isn't relevant. Anyway, so Be'ezat Hashem, we're starting a new policy. I already implemented it. I got a phone call this week already, or the end of last week, about a shidduch. And before the guy even said, just say, I want you to know that if this is about shidduchim, I don't answer shidduchim questions. It was a machaya. It was so good. So this is my new policy till next week. But anyway, I believe that there. I think it's a very good policy. It saves me from Lashon Hara. It saves me from clearing, and I really don't think there's any reason, and I think it's good. The guys should know that, I'm going to tell Rabbi Brigida too. I think he shouldn't do it. I don't think anyone, why we have to do talk to, could be he doesn't. I don't know. Anyway, so that's a big, the public announcement. Okay. I wanted to talk on a topic, not one topic. I wanted to talk, I mentioned in one of the shiurim today, sometime Rav Huttner a little bit. Rav Huttner was talking about the concept how Goyish, things in the Goyish world have an ability to sneak into Yiddishkeit without our realizing it, into our society. Now, some things are not so terrible. He was talking about in that particular time, he said that when the rabbi walks down in the procession in the wedding, he said that from the church because it's a Goyish perception of marriage, that the priest is, I now pronounce you man and wife. There's a perception that the priest or the rabbi is making the marriage. In reality, that's a geisha thing, but in the In the Judaism, the rabbi does nothing. But he was also, there are other things he was talking about. You know, I remember mix. I remember him saying that if you have a conservative shul, mixed men and women in America, it would be usher gomer to go there. But if you're in a Muslim country, he felt it's not usher gomer because the reason in America they're doing it because they want to be like the goyim. They're trying to imitate the Christians. In a Muslim country, the Christians are separate. The Muslims are separate. So then stop me, Mishigas, okay? Mishigas. But there is, he was on many things about that there are Geisha things that get in. There's Geisha Hashkafas and Geisha behaviors. Some of these behaviors are usher because of Chukas Hagayim, but I'm not really, I don't want to start talking about Chukas Hagayim. Very, very unclear when it is usher as Chukas Hagayim, when it isn't usher as Chukas Hagayim. You got there in the Shulchan Aruch. It's not clear, but it's definitely from a Musar point of view, there are certain behaviors that are Geisha behaviors and are sneaking into Yiddishkeit. And people don't realize it. And people think, oh, yeah, this is the way it always was. Okay. Anyway, on the top of my list, I don't know, I know people, I shouldn't do this because people get upset with me, but I can't help myself. Is I was at the yeshiva's dinner, a very nice dinner. The yeshiva, for the first time, raised a nice amount of money, you know. The yeshiva also, for the first time, had an open bar. The first time we had an open bar. We used to have just Mr. Maskus used to walk around with a bottle of whiskey, but this time we had Mamish, a full-fledged bar. Now, maybe there was a connection. Okay. But the Maisa, it did look to me like there were some people who a little bit drank a little bit more than they should. I was also on Shabbos at a very beautiful Ofruf, and also it looked to me like there were not that, I'm not saying everyone, obviously, but there looked like there were some people that had a little bit more than they should have. So, you know, so I like to talk a little bit about the topic of drinking. Now, I'm not talking against the guy who likes to take a little sip of wine, and I'm not talking about the guy. Definitely, the old Jewish minig was that they would take a little glaze, a little teeny schnapps glass, and take a little shot of schnapps. I know that seems to have been, you know, people said it's good for the clean the germs, and but when you see a guy pouring up a full cup, not a little glass, you know, schnapps guy, but a, you know, one of these full 8-ounce cups with straight whiskey and then going, right? So, I know, that's what I was I'm talking about. So, now, there are some people that say, and I have this, now I admit there are people that disagree with me, even in the Chofetz Chaim system, I admit. But what can I do? Rabbi Trapper used to agree with me very strongly. He used to encourage me to speak. So, someone agreed with me. Anyway, so I want to say my opinion. We'll start. Then we'll go on to another topic. There are some people that say, "What do you want? This is people always drank since, like, Noach got drunk, right? And that's the way it is since the time of the." So I can only say from my knowledge, I'm a little bit older than some people, historically, and I did, you know. That it used to be, people used to always say, Jews don't drink. When I was a boy, it was almost unheard of for a Jew to get drunk. Doesn't mean they didn't make a little kiddush after davening. There was a kiddush club in my father's shul. But no, the reason why now the kiddush clubs are so controversial is because today people get drunk in kiddush clubs. No one would ever get drunk in a kiddush club. You'd be booshed out of your of the world. It would be such a busha. Today, you talk to people in chinuch, it's not an uncommon thing for parents to come home from shul drunk. It's not uncommon. And people get drunk in shul. People get drunk at kiddushes. People get drunk at shanam zachers. It's a different type of drinking. So I'm not talking about the guy who takes a little shot, or the guy that somehow, I don't know why they like wine, I don't know why they think it tastes good, and they drink a little bit in the cup. Okay. But the people that do it, you know, gesund, quickly. So my premise is that this was not a Jewish minhag. This is a new, this came from the Goyim, right? There's this famous story, I forgot who told it, that there was a guy in Russia that he became a Baal Tshuva. He says he was in Russia, and his friends, his classmates were making fun of him that he's Jewish. And he kept telling them, I'm not Jewish, because he really didn't think he was Jewish. He said, no, they kept on making fun. You can't know. We know you're Jewish. We know you're Jewish. So he went home and complained to his parents. All my classmates are making fun of me that I'm Jewish. I don't know. It's crazy. So finally his parents told him, you know, tell you the truth. You really are Jewish. So he went back to his classmates. Okay, you know, you got me. But how did you know? I didn't know. I didn't know I was Jewish. How did you know I was Jewish? So they told him, we have a rule that if you don't curse and you don't drink, you're Jewish. So that was a standing thing. Anyway, I wanted to prove my theory that it used to be, when I went to Israel in 1970, Ben Yehuda was a hangout place. It was all ice cream powers. There was not a single bar in Ben Yehuda. Can you believe that? Ben Yehuda today, I don't know if you know, is all bars. It's like one street straight of bars. I don't think you can even get ice cream if you wanted to. But it used to be, it was all ice cream powers. It was mapped with kids. It was the biggest hangout place in the world, but it wasn't bars. And I remember people used to say, the Yerushalayim is a Jewish city. There's not a single bar in all Yerushalayim. It was in 1970. Maybe it was in some neighborhood, but in the normal Yerushalayim. Today, there are hundreds and hundreds of bars in Yerushalayim. Streets that just one after the other. Anyway, so this was my proof. I once gave this out before, but I just couldn't resist. If you could just pass out, this is my proof that we Jews are not used to drink. Okay. You know, I give half to the other side. I have here a song. Now, I am not a musical, but this is a song that I grew up with. And for some reason, it's a Yiddish song. So there's a few constraints. One, I'm not musical. Two, I don't know Yiddish. Right? But the other Rabbi Yachna is to sing it to you. You see, the guy in the bottom wrote, I took this off the internet tonight. How come a song which enjoyed such popularity 40 and 50 years ago disappeared? That's a good gotcha. This was one of the most popular, when I was a kid, this was one of the most popular songs. Now, I don't know. Anyway, let me sing it a drop. Geita goy in Shanko Arayn, in Shanko Arayn, in Shanko Arayn. Okay, which means, a guy goes into a bar, into a bar, into a bar. Trink in ear, he drinks, dart there, a glaze of a vine, a glass of wine, a glaze of a vine, a glaze of a vine. Right, he drinks. Oi, and now this is a refrain. A shaker is a guy, shaker is a guy. You know what shaker is, right? A drunkard. Shaker is a guy, shaker is a guy, shaker is here, trinker mazer vowi is a guy. Right, which means, A joy is a drunkard. A joy is a drunkard. A joy is a drunk. Is he? He must drink because he is a guy, right? Shaker is a guy. Shaker is a guy. Shaker is there. Drinker must there. Bowie is a guy. Okay. Then, gate yin in base medish arayin in base medish arayin in base medish arayin. Right, means it goes a Jew into the base medrash, into the base medrash, into the base medrash. Chap, he grabs. Ear dart, he grabs air, a kedusha rein, a kedusha rein, a kedusha rein. Don't ask me why the guy in the bottom translated, mistranslated, made it to know Yiddish, but it means he grabs a kedusha. Why? Three times to say. Oy, nechter is a yid, that's sober, nechter is a yid, is there davin and mazer, he must davin, vowie is a yid. Right? Okay, so you get the point. Right? Now there's a guy must be drunk, and the Jew must be, then it just basically continues. This is the first phrase that a guy goes into the bar, then the Jew goes into the base medrash, and then the second phrase is when the guy comes out of the bar and when the Jew comes out of the base medrash. So gate the guy from Shikarain, it comes out of the barn from Shikarain, from Shikarain. Brech the door, the Porsche, I don't know how I pronounce this. Basically means he beats up, he breaks some windows. There's different, the guy in the bottom said there were different gerses. Well, I remember it says he breaks windows. He breaks, here he says he breaks some Jewish heads. But I don't know. Okay. And then he comes out of the barn, the tavern, and he breaks some windows. And then again the refrain, oh, sheker is a guy, sheker is a guy, sheker is a becher, means he must break muzer, he has to. Vow, he is a guy. Okay, and then the same thing about a Jew. He comes out of the Beis Medrash, and he goes, learn some Mishnayos. What's he doing here? Get the Yid from Beis Medrash Arayin, Beis Medrash Arayin, Beis Medrash Arayin, cause it dart a poor, what's that? Mezuzah ice. I think it means mitzvahs. Mezuzah, I don't know what that means. Okay. Anyway, so he grabs a few mitzvahs. Okay. Anyway, that's the song. So now, if the Jews were drinking, how could they sing such a song? All right. Okay. Well, this is a raya for all those people that say that Jews used to get just as much drunk as Goyim. We have a Jewish folk song that proves that it's not true. That at least 40, 50 years ago, Jews did not get drunk. It was, that is, when I grew up, what can I tell you? I had my classmate, I tell guys, I was in a crazy high school. It was Chofetz Chaim's high school. It was a crazy place. It wasn't connected to the yeshiva. We had kids who were in Mishamar Shabbos in my class. And we had kids who did all kinds of with preetzes. And I think we even had kids who were on hardcore drugs, because those were the LSD days and the Vietnam days. But I don't think I had anybody in my class who drank. Drinking was for the lowlifes. Drinking was considered low. In the Jewish society, the person who drank was, if you took drugs, you were already, cultural people on Wall Street took drugs. But, but drinking, it's like meistic. Okay, anyway, but a maisa, drinking has now become quite prevalent even in frum circles. And again, I'm talking about heavy drinking. So the question is, why do people drink? So there will be people that will tell you the first thing they drink because they like the way it tastes. Right? The guy who fills up his cup with the, it's so smooth. Right? You hear that one? So smooth. I don't know what that means. But it's so smooth. Right? Supposedly vodka has no taste. So I don't know, people think vodka, right? I think vodka has no taste. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but so I don't know what the excuse for drinking vodka is. Yeah, but why do you have to put in the cranberry juice for? What did they want? If it has no taste, what's the excuse to drinking it?
The more expensive vodkas, he's very into vodka, and he says that someone who appreciates vodka can taste the different unguents and stuff.
But you have to be okay. The maisa, supposedly real vodka doesn't have a taste. That's why they advertisement for vodka. They have all these vodka advertisements. They never advertise the taste. They might advertise it as crisp or absolute. I don't know what they advertise, but they don't have that it tastes good because it can't. It doesn't taste. Anyway, the maisa, I don't know, I'm not into these things anymore, but I remember also when I was a kid, it was, I'm not saying I was into it then either, but I remember hearing there was a certain X-rated magazine that was, that was in my day. And it used to have very, very sophisticated articles. It's just a stira. So they say, why do they do that? Because people would buy the magazine. I'm not buying it because it's X-rated. I'm buying it for the articles, right? So that way, the bidafka, this way people would be embarrassed to go into the store and buy this magazine. But now they had an excuse. I'm buying it for the articles. The same thing was, I remember when they first came out with cable television. So I don't know how it is now. I don't even know if they still have cable. I guess they still have cable, no? I don't know, because you have internet. I don't know if you need cable. But there was a cable you could sign up for a pizza stick, XXXX, whatever it is, cable. But it came together. You couldn't get it just by itself. It came together with something else. Because no one's going to sign up, not no one, but just for pizza. I'm getting the sports channel. I'm a big sports fan. It's my problem that they, you know, they won't, they put the sports together with this, you know. Okay, and so what can I do? I had to get it. Aga Borge, right? So the guy who's drinking, in my opinion, maybe I'm wrong, the guy who's drinking this full cup of, you know, 8 ounces of whiskey because it tastes good, he's the same guy who's reading the pornography because he wants to read the articles. No, you don't seem to get me. He's full of baloney. He's not drinking it because it tastes good. I don't believe. He might, if he takes a sip, okay. And, you know, but he says, "Ooh, this tastes good." And then he's drinking 6 glasses of it. I don't know. I somehow, okay. So why do people drink? So there's a few different reasons, in my opinion. One is they want to show off. Right? That's one reason. They want to show off, and they want to show how manly they are, which to me shows how immature they are, right? Because anyone has to show off that he's a man is a baby, right? Really is. You think of, you know, I have to prove that I'm a man so I can look at me, the big shot. You know, it's like a little kid. Look at me. You have to show off. You have to prove that you're a man. There's something probably is a little immaturity. Okay. The other reason why people drink, which I think is the most common reason, I don't want to say people want to get drunk. You know, that's obviously for some people. They want to get a little loose, right? They want to get a little, what's it called? They want to get their inhibitions lowered, right? I want to dance at the chasanas, my best friend's wedding, and I want to be able to dance in the circle, and I'm a little embarrassed to dance, so when I drink and I lose my inhibitions, then I become a great dancer. I'll get up and make this great speech. I have to make a speech. I'm a little bit, I have inhibitions. I'm uncomfortable getting up in public and making a speech. So I take a little bit to drink, and it just loosens, right? It loosens the tongue a little bit, and then it's much easier to get up. Okay, it's a svara. I can't say it's a terrible svara. It's a svara. But I think it's a pretty bad svara. Why is it a pretty bad svara? So, in my opinion, there's 2 reasons why it's a bad svara. First of all, there's a very big danger that you might not get it exactly right, and you might go beyond the point of exact line that you want to get. You know, you still want to be in control, but you just want to get rid of a little bit of your inhibition so you can, and you might go a little bit too far. And then you're liable to make a total fool of yourself or do et cetera, et cetera. But the second reason, which to me is another big reason, is I do not know about other people. I know occasionally I do averus, right? Why do I do averus? So there's probably 2 main reasons. The most common reason is I usually make a mistake. I don't realize it. I'm speaking to somebody, and I say something really stupid, and I embarrass him, and I don't realize that, you know, and I shouldn't have said it to him. Right? Someone told me a maisa. I'm trying to think of a very powerful maisa. There was someone else told me this. I didn't do this. That there was a guy in the yeshiva who was talking to some woman, some rabbitson, whatever, about, you know, he just had a baby and he was discussing the problem he has that his parents want her to name the baby a certain name, but it's such an ugly name and he doesn't want to name the baby that name. What should he do? Right? And then he realized, of course, that that's her name. So things like that you do sometimes. You know, like, you don't stop to think, like, you know, oh, he's not the person I should have said that to, you know. Right? So that happens all the time when you put your foot in the mouth. You know, you say something, and then you realize, you know, who did I say that to? You know, you're talking about the problem, you know, people who don't get, girls, older girls get married, and then you're telling that to a girl who never got married, and you're saying your theory that girls who don't get married is because this and this and this, and then, anyway, we do that all the time. Sometimes you go over to a dinner and you compliment the person on how nice his wife looks, and it's really his daughter. He gets very insulted when you do that. I've seen that happen. You know, I don't usually compliment people on nice their wives look, but I don't have to worry. But I've seen people do that. you know, really, they get really insulted when you compliment this like 50-year-old guy. Oh, your wife is looks so, she looks so nice. And that's my daughter. Anyway, so that's half the time you do. I do averis. I'm a vaza pnei chavero berabim, because I say something without thinking. Sometimes you say a quick line, it comes in jet. It's like a reflex, a knee-jerk reaction. The guy sets himself up, you know, they got these real good lines, and the guy sets himself up for a real good, you know, zets, you know, you got him. But so that's a big problem. The big problem is that I say them and I don't stop to think before I say it. The other problem I do averis is sometimes I just have such a strong taiva, yetzahara, that even though I know I shouldn't do it, I give in. Right? Hopefully that doesn't happen that often, but and also that's why I do averis, right? Now, when you drink, you get rid of your, what's it called again, inhibition. You're basically increasing your probability for both of these two things. So my feeling is I want to have more inhibitions. I'm upset that I have too little inhibitions. I go ahead and I talk without thinking. Right? I should be thinking more before I talk. So what I'm going to do, before I get up to speak, I'm going to take a few drinks. You know. So then for sure, well, not for sure, but then, you know, and the Maisa, we have seen many, many times. I'm not saying all the time, and I'm not saying every year, but it has happened many years that guys, when they are somewhat, you know, not say drunk, but they're somewhat, you know, a little bit relaxed because they've been drinking, they will say things and they will insult their friends. They would never do it if they were more sober. You know, whether it's with gramim or this. So some of the gramim, I'm not saying gramim are puzzle. If you're sober and you can think whether it's kosher or not, and whether you weigh will the guy be insulted or not, okay, you can say a kosher gramin. But when a guy's half drunk and he says a gramin, sometimes, don't say all the time, but sometimes, and it has happened more, you know, has happened more than sometimes, right? People's judgment is a little off, or their ability of self-control is a little bit off, and they say gramin or lines that are really, really hurtful. And they're over the Avera. I'm a Vaza Plechavera Barabin. I don't want to end up the end of that statement because it's a little bit too scary. But it's a serious Avera. So why would a person want to drink and then get up and say Gramin or speak or do who knows what and risk, you know, like as it is, I know that I make mistakes. I know in Shir sometimes I say something and say, oh, I shouldn't have said that. I insulted the guy. It happens. I apologize. I know I do it. Sometimes I'm in the heat of, you know, in the discussion and share, I get carried away and I insult the person. But if I would be drinking, I'd be really in trouble. The same thing with self-control, not to do averis. Obviously, when you drink, your self-control is less. So why would I want to lower my self-control? Now, of course, if you really get drunk, then you're for sure lowering your self-control. Then you're, you know. But even I'm thinking, if you don't get drunk, let's say you succeed and you only drink enough to get yourself loose. But why would you want to be loose? I can't dance. Okay, so force yourself. You know, if you really want to dance, you can force yourself to dance. I'm sorry, other people dance without getting drunk. Rabbi Harris dances without getting drunk. He doesn't drink before he goes in. You can push yourself to drink to dance. You don't need the only way I can dance is if I take a drink. You push yourself. You force yourself the first time to do it. You do it at one or two weddings. You'll find you're not embarrassed. You get used to it. Like anything else, that if the first time you do it, you're embarrassed. The second time you do it, you're not embarrassed anymore. And you'll see, you won't need to drink, and you'll be able to be the star of the dancing without drinking. So maybe the first time, you'll feel awkward. Okay, so you feel awkward. But the advantage is so much greater. you save yourself from getting, from literally putting your foot in your mouth. So anyway, that's what I think. Now, I know there are people that disagree with me. You know, what can I tell you? But it seems that even, you know, in the yeshivas, it seems to be quite rampant, you know, that guys are, say, I'm not talking about even, it's just, you know, a guy wants to take one beer. I don't know what one beer is. Lo yodea. But I'm talking about at this point, you know, guys who are really, they take a nice, strong amount. You know, they were definitely, you know, I'm not saying they get drunk. I'm not saying they can't drink, you know. Besides which, the fact that there's also guys who really get drunk, there's mamish sakana. You know, that's a different thing. I always tell the guys in Israel, we had a guy, he went and he got drunk. I don't think it was Purim. I think it was New Year's Eve. Don't say that. It doesn't sound good for the yeshiva in Israel. But he went to he got drunk at a party, right? So he decided to go to another party. So he was in the near in Sanhedrin Rechevet in a party. It might have been Purim, I don't remember for sure. And then he decided to go to Ramot. He heard there was another party in Ramot. Now, you know how to get from Sanhedrin Rechevet to Ramot? There's a road. There's a road that goes around the mountain. Basically, there's a mountain. Ramot's on top of a mountain. Sanhedrin Rechevet's on the bottom of the mountain. There's a road that comes in a mountain. You don't go straight down the mountain. You go around. So you're basically, vision is very, very slight because you're coming around and around the mountain. So cars cannot see. If there's someone in front of you, you know, you're turning, and they go Israeli speed. And when they go down the mountain, they speed more. And this guy decided to walk to Ramoth, and of course he decided to walk on the highway, right? So he's walking on the highway in this road, and it just, someone literally saved his life by risking his life and pulling him off the highway. You know, some Baal Chesed. You know, basically, so this nut in the middle, walking in the middle of this highway, and he just ran there and just dragged him off. But you could get seriously, this does happen. Chas v'shalom, you do hear stories of people who get seriously hurt. So that's a different story. And also, sometimes it can make a chiddush Hashem, because some, you know, especially some people don't understand it, and it can become a chiddush Hashem. You know, there's a lot of different reasons, but I think the strongest reason is just for yourself. You know, besides the health issues and besides the chiddush Hashem issues, you don't. Why would you want to cause yourself a greater chance of doing something that you shouldn't be doing? Just to me, it doesn't make sense. I am so upset at myself. So many times when I, you know, afterwards, why did I do that? And then I'm going to go ahead and encourage myself to do it more. It's like almost, it's a simon. I don't want to say it's a simon that you're not sincere, but I don't know. It's a good conscience. Okay. Anyway, Mom is running out of time. I thought I had so much time. I wanted to talk quickly about a different topic. Haircuts. Right? That's also from the Geisha world. Right? The yeshiva is not into frumkeit. So we don't have the front guide, so we don't believe in, you know, necessarily yeshivish haircuts. But it used to be, when I was a kid, and not just till I was a kid, till about a few years ago, haircuts among goyim were plain haircuts. So when you got a normal plain haircut, you were just... But now, today, there has become a new thing that there's very stylish haircuts. You know, you're bald on the sides and a giant, you know, hat on the top, and I don't know, all kinds of interesting things. So this is a new thing. I don't want to say it's us or us, Lucas, again. I don't know. But it's definitely, there's no, the Rashiva's Ashkafa in dress was, you're supposed to be conservative. You're not supposed to stand out. You're shorty, not supposed to. He didn't want you to dress like a tzaddik, but he didn't want you to dress like a bum either. You're not supposed to affiliate. When your spirit book gets certain types of haircuts, they are affiliating with the most stylish, the movie star crowd, I don't know, the whatever it is, some crowd. That you're not supposed to. It's this chinuch chamus or clothes. We mentioned Reshiva Shmuz and Yaakov. Yaakov, when he went to Yitzchak, he put on Esau's clothes. So I believe it's a Das Kanim, I don't remember for sure. Asked Akasha, why did Yaakov have to wear Esav's clothes? Yitzchak was blind. Yitzchak couldn't see the clothes. If he could see, then Yaakov and Esav didn't look alike. So the whole thing was that Yitzchak was blind. It says Beferish in the Pasuk. So if he couldn't see the difference in the face, so why could he see the difference in, you know, Yitzchak put skins with hair on your, you know, you think that wasn't noticeable? Like if you would look at that, oh, that was really a great costume. You know, you take skins of an animal, you know, he didn't glue it on when he tied it on with his, I don't know, whatever. Anyone look at him, it was probably pretty noticeable. But Yitzchak was blind. He couldn't see there was some hairy thing glued onto his hand, you know. So it was what after said the clothes he could see. So the Das Kanim says that the clothes was not for Yitzchak, the clothes was for Yaakov. That in order for Yaakov to act like Esav, you had to dress like Esav. When you dress like Esav, you act like Esav. In other words, Rashivish moves. Rashiva was very big on that. People don't know. People think Rashiva did not hold the dress. He didn't hold that you should dress frum because even though there's a maila, there's also certain chisrainus. It can cause gaiva. It can cause a misappreciation of who you are. But he was very, very makbid against people dressing in the other way, in the overly hippie-ish. He was very makbid. You know, he was makbid on yarmulkes that he felt that were not the right. I'm not talking about size, besides size. He also makbid on size, but besides size, certain types he thought they were. You know, affiliation. Let's say a guy wore a knitted yarmulke, so you're affiliating with Mizrahi. I mean, Mizrahi's not the end of the world. No, Shiva, you know, we don't affiliate. You're affiliating with, you shouldn't affiliate that way, you know. And shorty, certain clothes, there was in my days, there was a thing called bell bottom pants. I don't know if they have that anymore. He was very makbid about. There was these things that you affiliated with a certain group of the population. So you get yourself a nice, normal haircut. You're being what you call conservative, elegant. You're not affiliating with anyone. Baruch Hashem, I think everyone here has a nice, normal haircut, by the way. I'm not accusing anyone, you know, because everyone, Baruch Hashem, is also with the drinking. Baruch Hashem, we have no drinking problem, as far as I know. I wasn't accusing anyone. But I got inspired from my Sheva Brachas in the dinner, and it pays sometimes to speak about something before there's a problem. Not that there's a problem. Chas v'shalom. Baruch Hashem, there's no problem this year. We're very thankful and appreciative. But anyway, so here, because you gotta be careful. It's a new thing that the guys are getting. Some guys are getting these crazy haircuts. Also, these haircuts mess up the payas. The Maisa Payas is a real Indian, you know. And even if you get it exactly, there are some people that get their payas cut exactly. So what if the barber, you know, makes a mistake and he goes in a fraction of an inch too high? Then you just cut your payas. That doesn't mean you have to have your payas all the way down, but you should have it a drop more than necessary because you don't know. It's very hard. It's a chut asaira, right? That's a pun. It's a chut asaira. So you don't have to be exactly on the line. A few years ago, Rav Brook came to yeshiva, and you know he's a Navardiker, so he has guts, and he went over to a bunch of guys, and he told them that they should have longer payas. I'm not a Navardiker, so I don't do that. But he had the guts, he went over to a bunch of guys in yeshiva, and he told them that your payas are too short. So why should we have, why shouldn't we have, as long as we're having payas, have them, okay, here the guy's checking. Okay, okay. You should have it a little, doesn't mean you should have it all the way down to your, into the bottom, I'm not saying, but, a drop longer, be safe. But some of these new haircuts, they make it skinny. You know, I was in a shul, there was a few weeks ago, I had to go stay by my wife's uncle. I was had to, help him out. I went to some diamond shop shul there. I was looking around. No one in the shul had payas. I was like in shock. Apparently, that must be the style today. Everyone was cut here. It was a little bit of a modern shul, but it was an Orthodox shul. But I didn't see like any of the bathroom with payas. It wasn't like it was almost had it. Just, it must be. I don't know if that's a style, whatever. Young. So it's something you have to be careful. We have to be careful with the, you know, with the haircuts. We should get normal haircuts. You can have a little bigger chop, okay, a little less chop. I'm not saying that we're not so big on the guy has a little big chop, okay. That's not such a terrible thing, but it's a different thing. But when it's these crazy styles, it's, you know, like it, that's very different. You know, you got a, okay, you got a nice chop. Sometimes, you know, I get my hair grows too. I get a nice chop. Okay, I don't think that's so bad. That's like, you know, that's not acting. You know, there's in today's world, when you have a little bit of, you know, okay. But when you have a mountain here, like, you know, and you're bald on your sides, and I don't know, all these other funny things, that's, there's something, there's no mitzvah. You don't have to be the most, you don't have to associate with the latest and the greatest styles that just came out of some kind of Madison, you know, whatever it is. Even the same thing has happened with beards. There's, you know, there's certain guys who even, you know, they, you know, it used to be people grew beards out from kite, you know, believe it or not. It was from to grow a beard. Today, people growing beards because it's stylish to have a, what's it called? A
scrub.
A, what?
Scrub.
Yeah, what's it? A scrub, that's the word?
Stub.
Yeah. Okay. So, but now, so even that wasn't, well, and it wasn't so bad a few years ago because it just meant the whole thing. But now it has to be cut, I see. I see certain beard. They have to. It has to be. Serp, half the beard is, and half the beard is cut. Then it, what?
The pencil beard.
Yeah, like. You don't have to be all these fancy. Like you look like, you know, you're the most. You know, I don't know what the word exactly is, but there's no mitzvah to have to be look like you're the most stylish guy. You know, a movie star. You know. You want to grow a beard? Grow a beard, okay? I have nothing against beards. You want to grow a beard? A beard is a gravatic thing. It saves so much bittul tira. You know, what? You can pull it. What? Yeah, okay. I don't want to say, you know, whether yes or no, but I'm not advocating a beard. But it's one thing, a beard, a regular beard, but not these crazy beards. And a lot, I've noticed, I don't say a lot of people, but there are people, a nice number of people that they get these, you can see, it's just the way they, it's half trimmed and half not trimmed. I don't know. Okay, I don't think that's the way it should be. All right. Okay, I think we'll stop. We have enough of the kanoyas. My kanoyas.
Let's say someone's playing sports or working out.
Yeah.
Is it okay to wear, let's say, knitted yarmulke or something like that?
Yeah, why not? Right now. Especially, you can wear a breastplate yarmulke. Those are the best ones for sports. Yeah, a big breastplate white yarmulke. It won't fall off your head. It's more it's the association. But you do not want guys associating. You know. What you, okay. Bye. Go to a different rabbi.
We're not like taking a shot before going to the rabbi.
No, I don't think the guy should be. If you think it's the right thing to do, my personal thing is a person should be able to have to do intellectually what he thinks is right. So I think that's a healthy midah. If you think it's the right thing to dance, so dance.
Can you take a shot? Yeah,
that's what I think. In other words, it's almost like it's a what's it called, a crutch. You do, if you intellectually something is right and you want to do it, so do it. Be a person who's able to do what he believes to do. That you can't do what you intellectually believe you want to do without taking a shot, I think is unhealthy, because every time you have to do something. There are things in life that are a little difficult, and you got to do it. I had, you know, there were things in my life that I did. I'm not saying the grades out, but, you know, if I forced myself to do it, I did it. Not that before I did, I had to take a drink, and then I can do it. It's not a good habit. I really don't think so. You have to learn. You're going to do it. I was at a wedding, and the chassan was drunk. I assume it was shot like what you're saying. You know, he was nervous before the wedding. You know, I'm going to say I ran the Gudeshes, you know. So he got drunk. You know, took a few more shots, but it was a bizarre in Shankamayo. No? Chassid was drunk at his own wedding. I don't know halachically. I forget halachically. Maybe it's also halachically not right. But it was pretty embarrassing, you know. One thing, when the guests are drunk, it's also embarrassing. When the chassid himself is drunk, it's not a good habit, but that's the same thing. The guy was probably nervous. He wasn't drunk all the time. The guy knew the guy. But probably before his wedding, he needed to steady himself. So he took a few drinks, and he took a few more drinks. And maybe he was probably fasting, too. He got himself drunk.
Are you only not supposed to affiliate with our clothing? But in Madison, you're allowed to affiliate with other
you're
things.
Not to what? No, the Rishir did not want you affiliating in doing anything with, you know, you shouldn't affiliate. He was saying that clothes has a tremendous hashpah. I wasn't trying to knock on Miami and Mizrahi. It was not the point. I was saying a Kaval Chomer. Mizrahi is very good, you know, it's orthodox. These other things I know that, but I was just making a Kaval Chomer. Clothes make an affiliation. Obviously, there are other ways of affiliating. Shira did not want a person affiliating, doing something that affiliates you with something which we hashkafically do not agree with, because it has a hashbach. So when you dress, since dress is such a powerful mashbia, like we said, the shmuz of Esav, with Yaakov, so when you dress and you look in the mirror and you see Mr. Movie Star or Mr., because that's what you're dressing, like the guy that they advertise the models in the magazines, so that's who you feel like. You don't look in the mirror and say, oh, I look like a yeshiva bacher. You look in the mirror and you say, I look like a, you know, one of the models. So that's bad for the chinuch hamusar. Now, there's other ways you affiliate. It's also not good. You know. Okay, shigaya.